With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello, my darlings. It's me, Anna Mann, actress, singer, welder. Gotta have a backup. I've been in everything, my darlings, and I've been cut from most things. However, I will not be cut from one thing, and that is my own podcast, Talking to Actors with Anna Mann, where I meet those rarest of creatures, the actors. That's Talking to Actors on the Great Big Owl.
Hi guys,
are you enjoying the heat wave?
Oh Christ, I'm enjoying the heat wave. There's nothing I like better than to wake up in the morning dripping with sweat.
Oh my god.
Having not slept properly. Having no fan in the room.
No water.
I have no water in my house.
No, well, he has to go to a well.
Mm, 3 miles away.
I'm very lucky because I've got a big fat wife next to me. And the heat she generates.
Your sweat drips off her. You just hold a cap under
her. God, I hold a cap under her. I mean, I managed to do a bit of cheese on toast and her ass. Crack of her ass last night.
It's so hot.
Oh, it's so hot. It did melt up nice.
Oh, lovely. You're frying a couple of eggs on her belly.
On her belly. I had English before I'd even got up.
And
this
then
morning.
All the sweat drips off her. Yeah. You get your little glass and hold it underneath there, drip, 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 and then...
It's a little bit salty. But I say it's a bit like, you know, when you go to Nando's or something, it's like, unlimited trips to the sweat bar.
Yeah.
Unlimited trips.
To the what bar? The sweat bar.
The sweat bar. Yeah. Boob juice? Yeah, don't mind if I do, you know. Anyway, that's disgusting, and it's my wife.
I
don't want...
She's not here. She'd defend herself.
Although,
to be honest with you, she would say the same thing. She would say, yeah, I do sweat a lot. And he does fry eggs on me.
I do fry eggs on her. But, you know, in this age of ecology, you have to be resourceful.
Oh, yeah, you've got to fry eggs on people. When you can.
I mean, look, I use so much of her bodily fluids to keep her self-sufficient.
Yeah, well, it's better than using fossil fuels, isn't it?
Well, of course it is. Look. In the
years to come, we'll all be using bodily fluids off our partners.
Well, off my partner, probably. There's a lot of it to carry out.
To sustain us. You know?
I mean, not long ago, we had terrible trouble. We ran out of cooking oil. Locked off a bit of
a neck fat.
Yeah, fried up lovely, down the cut of it. She's a walking ecological revolution.
Oh,
that
is good. I mean, we don't need to go to space to find new planets to live on when we've got Margaret.
Oh, well.
I mean, she's going to keep us going for at least the next 200 years.
You try telling Jeff Bezos that.
I do try. I rang him up. I said, Jeff, you know, I know you're going up in your rocket, etc. But you don't need to, because all you need to do is get over to Watford.
Yeah.
Have a word with Margaret. Well, I'm sure you can come to some arrangement, you know?
Well, this is the thing. Did you see that documentary, Brian
Jeff
Cox?
Bezos and Me.
Jeff Bezos and me, and right. It was TV's Pat Sharp and him spending the weekend
going through his record collection. Shit, his record collection.
Oh, shit. It was just before an 80s all weekender. Oh, all God. 80s weekender at Minehead Butlins.
Oh, God. And his record collection is awful. And he's the head of Amazon. He can get hold of any
record. Any record
and
he wants.
The stuff he has. He's got Agadu.
Agadu. All that black lace stuff. He's got all the back. Brother Beyond.
I was so surprised. I thought, you've got loads of money and you're like, you're very cultured apparently, but it's the Wurzels and it's black lace.
Money and it cannot buy you clothes.
No, exactly.
Alan Sugar.
Well, Alan Sugar's record collection.
It's one of the worst. Fucking
the one of the worst record collections. I mean, I went in there and he says, I went in his flat, up in Park Lane.
He says it's a
penthouse. I says, all right.
Oh, if that's what you call it.
Okay, mate. And he says, go and have a look at the records. I'm over there, And it's all like, it's mixed. It's not even
in alphabetical
like,
order.
No, it's nothing like that. It's, and do you know what it is? It's like greatest hits. It's all like, it's got all the Now collection, right? From one right up to 100 and whatever it is. Got all of them.
Yeah.
And then it's just got greatest hits of the 80s. Greatest hits of the 90s. Greatest hits of the 2000s.
It's the sort of thing you pick up at a petrol station. Exactly. Halfway at the MC.
It's all garage music.
It's bollocks. And then he goes...
David Gray's collection.
He goes, look at this. It's vintage. Well, I know what it was. It was a Hallmark Top of the Pops, 1973. Someone pretending to be David Essex. No, it's a real thing, he goes. I said, Alan.
His name's David Wessex.
David Wessex
sings David Essex. He says, well, it's bloody good anyway.
He says, look at this. Tapow, original. I said, it says Tapoo on it.
Kapow,
it says on it.
Yeah.
I said, he said, look at this, lovely. Oh, I'm going back to my roots. Chaz and Dave. I said, no, it's not. It's Daz and...
Daz and Chase.
Das und Chase.
Das it's the German
it's
version.
It's the German
isn't it?
Version.
The German record.
Das won't stop in talking. Why don't you give it a rest?
You got more rabbit than science, Chris.
It's time you cut it off your chest. Like, I said, Alan, if you think that's Chaz and Dave, who the fuck listens to this?
Where'd you get it from, anyway? Oh, it's out in the market, Woking Market. It's just,
oh, that's what it says.
I said he gets all his records down there because it's cheap, isn't it?
He's got no class. He says to me, come in. Oh, do you want a biscuit? He goes, you want a biscuit? Right. He gets his cutlery out and a plate. Yeah. Oh, it's so vulgar. It's all there's a pattern on it of his own face. He calls it an abstract.
Yes, it will.
And it's Alan with a crown on. It's all gold-plated. And a bubble come in his mouth going, Ich lieben doesn't chafe.
What an extraordinary piece.
It really extraordinary piece.
What an extraordinary piece. Has he had that made, or what's he done?
I took one look at
it. It must have been a fan that sent it to him.
It was. It probably was a fan. I mean, Fiona Bruce would laugh him out.
Because he did try to take it. That's
it. That's it. Chatsworth, wasn't it?
Chatsworth House, right?
He took all his shit.
And he had it in like a big swag bag and he showed it, right?
That's it.
And he says, he waited in line, he's like... He said, I said, for a start, I said, look, you're a celebrity, Alan. You could push your weight to the front, right?
Yeah.
He goes, no. I wanted to make sure they thought I was like a normal punter.
I
suppose that's probably the best thing, because then, you know, when you unleash your antiques, you know, they'll just take them at face value.
Yeah.
He goes, So I got there with my swag bag and I banged it in front of Fiona Bruce and half a negus. I said, what did you have in the bag? I had that plate.
The plate.
With my face on it.
Chafe and Daz.
I says, did I put a valuation on that? They said, no, that was worthless, right? I said, well, that is surprising.
Yeah.
I said, what else you have? He says, cheese made.
Yeah,
right? I said, what tees made? He says, well, one of my Amstrad tees made and fax machines, right? Yeah. I just wanted to know if they were still worth anything, right? Yeah. I says, well, you should probably go on eBay or something like that, right? Because it's not, they're not antiques because they were made.
No, they're not.
They were made in 1985, weren't they? Shut up, you twat!
That's what he said.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going, listen. I said, yeah. You asked me about this, and I'm telling you my opinion, right?
Yeah, of course.
And what did Negus say? He said it's worthless. It's from the '80s, and it's made of plastic. Yeah. I said, well, why are you telling me to shut up when you're getting the same response from Negus, and he knows exactly what he's talking about because he's an antique specialist. Shut up, he said, you twat. Shut up.
Yeah,
right?
That's it.
I went, all right, okay. I said, I don't want to know what else was in your bag, right? Because, you know, if that's going to be the attitude, oh, Christ.
Oh, he's got a real quick temper, the producer's likes to point out, that Adam Sugar is a completely reasonable man of equitable mood swings. And at no point did the following happen.
Yeah.
I was christening my Dave many years ago.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lovely, sombre service. Right. Everyone was there, all the family.
All sunny, lovely,
Watford, Methodist Church, the church from.
Yeah.
Everyone's relaxed.
Oh, yeah, was that in his car?
Four Cortina. He's got all the bloody leopard skins and all that. Yeah. He gets
there.
He's got all his sort of tasseled loafers. He comes up. He's all, like, you know.
His cowboy boots.
He comes in. And first of all, he's all nice. But I'm sorry.
I'm not here. I'm not even noticed, mate.
So anyway, the problem was I promised that one of the kids' names would be Alan in the middle, right? So the thing is all very sombre, very, oh my God, religious, high church, if you like.
Yeah.
He gets halfway through, he's like, and we name this child, the godparents are there, and Alan said, oh, you know, I'm expecting something.
Here we go.
Dave, Stuart, Robert, James.
Lovely, it's
a pause. St. Michael, he's gone, fucking what? You know,
he's driven him up the wall.
He's driven up the wall. You fucking, this is
in the middle of the church.
In the middle of the church. He's picked up the Amstrad tees made.
Which he brought with him as a present.
He's flying through the stained glass window. He goes, you're dead to me.
Oh, my God.
You're dead to me. Anyway, when it, and that's the last
and, of and what was it? Was it just a mistake by the vicar?
I've got to be honest. I didn't want to name him.
So as soon as he turned up, you must have felt uncomfortable.
I did. So, you know, when I went round his house and I saw, some years later, when we'd made up, and I saw his crockery, I didn't want to kick up.
You want to try and repair the relationship.
Exactly. But, however, we dealt with Alan's trips into space last time.
And we did.
What about Bezos? Because, of course, he flew off in space as a massive knob-shaped rocket.
I know, well, if you ask me to design your rocket for you, what choice am I left with? He says, it's Jeff Bezos here. I says, oh, yes, from Amazon, right?
He says,
I'm going out of space and I need a rocket and I haven't got long because Branson's already on his way and I want to get there quicker. I says, what do you want to get there quicker for?
It's just Willy waving.
I said, what do you mean Willy waving? Well, Willy's bigger than mine, Willy, that's your thing.
And frankly,
with Branson getting there a bit quicker than me, I've had my pants pulled down with this.
But he's Willy waving.
Essentially, I want a bigger rocket than Branson's and I want it quicker and I want it to look like, you know, well, you be creative. So I thought, well, we haven't got long, Jeff. We haven't got long, right?
So we'll get the clues in the word, will you?
I said, well, let's just go straight to the source, you know. Yeah. So I get my napkin out and my pencil and I just draw this Well, essentially, I just draw cock and balls. Yes. Balls on the side and all stuff coming out the top.
Stuff
right?
coming out.
And because it's all I could think of at the time.
Well, you're instinctive, lad.
Yeah, I know. And I put all fire coming out the bottom of it, like it's like rocket fuel, you know?
The technical stuff.
Yeah. It says, and over the Zoom, because we was on the Zoom call, right? I says, look. Listen, this is spitballing, just back of the napkin designs, but I showed it up to him like that. I showed it the design, the cock and balls, all stuff coming out.
Yeah.
And he, first of all, the first thing he says, what is the stuff coming out the top there? I says, well, I mean, in cock and balls term, it's probably, you know, like muck, you know?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, what would be the equivalent on a rocket? I says, I don't know. I don't know what would be coming out of the top. You know, he says,
not
well,
your job.
Okay, well, let's get rid of that. He says, okay, well, I just scratched out the stuff coming out of the top. All right, so we're left with the knob and the balls, right? He says, okay, I like that. I like it, but in terms of, and we had to do the discussions quickly. He says, in terms of the bottom here with these balls all on the side there, what is, I get that in your design, but what is it in rocket terms? I says, I don't know. Maybe it's the fins.
Yes.
He says, I don't think we're going to need any fins.
Right.
Right, I says, all right, scratched out the balls like that. He says, so we just left with the knob,
yeah?
I says, yes. And also, I said, if we just put a big hole in the side of the knob, that'll be the window, and you and Wally Funk and the student and your brother can all look out the side and have a look at space.
Yeah.
Right? He's gone, beautiful.
Beautiful.
Right? And because he's ahead of Amazon, he can sign off on it straight away, right?
Yeah,
so he sends the effects, done. It just says, done, Bezos, right? So I sent it out to Arizona, and I says, please can you build this big knob for Jeff and stick a window in the side and so they can all fly to space.
Yeah.
And because of the money he's got, of course, it's like, it's the turnaround on it is unbelievable. The engineers come back to me and says, no disrespect, et cetera, but this looks like a flying knob.
Yeah.
And I says, it is a flying knob. It is that. But I don't know whether you're aware of Branson going up.
Yeah.
And they go, we're aware of Branson going up. And I says, well, this is just willy waving.
It's willy waving.
And she says, oh, we get the fact that it's willy waving.
Yeah.
So I want to just play on that theme.
Yeah, you know?
So we're sending a knob up to space.
Thematic.
Inside a knob.
Yeah.
Heavy pencil.
An actor of my experience, you just get wrung dry.
A podcast sitcom with Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
I played Edmund Gelder, and he played Fanny Snatch.
The Observer called it
a lovely thing, wonderfully funny, pitched perfectly, produced with a light touch.
I'm not having any more of this. I need you to pull me off immediately.
Heavy Pencil from Great Big Owl.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, this is the thing, because Branson, he got in touch with me about my designs.
Right. Your designs are pretty good. I remember you showing me the napkin.
Pretty, pretty bloody
Bearing good. In mind it's willy waving.
It is willy waving. And I said, no, you want to go really clever.
Right. Yeah.
You want to go really clever. And it is willy waving, Richard. And he's like, oh, yeah.
And he's had his pants pulled down.
I was on the phone to him to Necker Island. In the background, there's three birds draped around
his legs.
All with bosoms, along.
Yeah.
So I designed...
Like at this stage, there's no point was he to fucking Richard Branson from Necker Island. He had three birds draped around him.
That did not happen.
But for the sake of this discussion,
I designed a rocket for Branson based on a pair of women's knockers.
He's gone to me,
it's willy waving. I said, I don't care, it's not willy waving. Not in this case, no. He blasted off from Coventry this weekend in the biggest, most aerodynamic pair of tits
that the space race
has ever seen.
Yeah.
Tits
in space. That's what he shouted. Because if you listen to the audio recording,
as
he's going up, right, all he's shouting is the whole way up.
You can see his mouth. Tits in space. You know the window.
Tits in space. Like that. Which seems like, you know, if it's such a historic moment, seems like a strange thing to shout, doesn't it?
I mean, you didn't hear, what's his name, Armstrong. You know, what's his name, Louis Armstrong. Who's the one who landed on the moon?
Jeff Armstrong.
You didn't hear
Alan
Jeff Armstrong.
Armstrong. Neil Armstrong.
You didn't. I mean, no, it's silly, isn't it? Because these great moments, almost exactly, what's that, 52 years, 1969, that they went almost to the day they went up. Yeah. You didn't hear, you know, that was one of the great moments in human didn't hear Neil Armstrong say, it's one small step for a man, one giant leap onto a massive pair of tits in space.
Yeah, you didn't hear, what's his name from the communications deck?
No.
Like as he's the only one stuck in space.
Michael Collins.
As Armstrong hits the deck on the moon one giant leap. And you didn't hear Michael Collins going, tits in space, tits in... Although I would love to have heard that.
It's tits in space. Willy waving and tits in space. You didn't hear
that. Well, to be honest with you, Bezos would have been more in line to say that because he had Wally Funk with him.
Yeah.
The 82-year-old lady, who I know you know from the Legion.
Yeah, right? She used to do the teas at the Legion.
Wally Funk. And she says, oh, I'd love to get my tits in space. Right? And... And I said to her, because I was down the Legion that Sunday. Remember?
And you overheard it. It's Sunday, Wally. Two teams, but not that.
Not that bit, right? I says, you always want to go to space? Right? She went, yeah, I've always wanted to go there. I says, why? She says, because I would like my tits to be in space.
Well,
and I says, well, that's... You know, that's as good a reason as any, isn't it?
It's not willy waving, is it?
No.
Well, that's what I made, and my darling Wally, if you're listening, I hope I made your tree because they were based on her tits.
Wally Funk's knockers.
Wally Funk.
Oh, you Christ. Know,
but anyway, I mean, the good news
you
is
had to write that song for Branson, didn't you?
I knew a lady called Wally Funk. She did not get into a funk. She wanted to get her tits up into space. She got involved with Bezos and Branson on their rather willy waving race. It went blast off. She gave a little cough. A tit flew into the orbit. Then they circled the Earth.
In an orbit.
Like snorbits.
Oh, God almighty.
They did look like snorbits. I know. But only because it rhymed with orbit.
And it's right. Orbit. I would have said, I would have gone, Wally Funk, orbit. I would have gone, her favourite film is Norbit. That's how I would have ended that song.
And of course, if you
were commissioned to write it like you
well, I was Bezos. Commissioned by Bezos and NASA. But yeah. What I would say is,
and they must have been overjoyed with the results. When you voted that through. Oh, that's money well spent. £300,000.
If I was really immature and not an 82-year-old man, I would have rhymed Wally Funk with...
Oh, you spunk. Willy Wavy.
That's page one.
Exactly.
Okay, so Wally,
yeah, you're
I'm
not
sorry.
Like that.
Wally, if listen, I'm sorry. No, I can only apologise. It was an open goal.
It was. And it's a historic moment. I feel like we might be, what's the word?
Trivialising?
Denigrating. No. I don't know.
Wally, well done, my darling. But when you get back, I'll have two teas and a crack of custard cream, please.
See you in Leeds on Sunday.
In other news,
it's been a busy time.
The bloody Olympics has started. Well, it's driving you mad.
It's not driving me mad. It's the costumes that are driving me mad.
That you have to wear for the handball, the beach volley.
I don't understand why the IOC have got involved with this.
They've got their knickers in a twist.
I have been the victim of this before myself.
Given the preamble, some people playing handball been told off for too skimpy underwear.
Yeah, they've been told off for not wearing skimpy enough underwear.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they've been told they have to wear like next to nothing. Yeah. And they all want to wear proper shorts, athletes, you know.
That's it.
Whereas Paralympic athlete Olivia, I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
She had like the normal like running briefs as supplied by Adidas.
Yeah.
And one of the English officials at the meet says, "Your pants are too small." And she says, "Well, I don't know if a bloke should have been treated like that." And I have to say to her, they would. Because I was playing cricket for one of the top... I don't want to go...
You don't
want
to name...
I don't want to name,
don't
it,
name
it, because
them.
I'll get sued. But yeah. We're one of the top teams.
Yeah.
Let's just put it
Let's
that
put
way.
It that
right?
way. Yeah.
And I went out to bat and...
Old Trafford, was it?
Yes, Old Trafford. Yeah. I went out to bat and I had my pads on and my bat in my hand. And
yeah.
I'd be white trousers on, which is what you're supposed to wear.
Regulation outfit, I'd have thought.
Yeah, regulation outfit. Anyway, I ate a couple of balls, and then there was this big... I could hear this big kerfuffle coming from the pavilion, right?
That's it.
And I'm looking around going, what? And they call me back in, and I go back, and I go, what is it? And she says, "You can't go out looking like that." I says, "Why not?" I says, "Well, you need to cut the arse out of your trousers, right?
Yeah.
And your knob needs to be hanging out
the front of them, right?
And I'm going, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
They said, "That is the regulation if you want to play on this team, right? We are trying to sell tickets here. We are trying to get bums on seats, right?"
Yeah.
I says, "Well, isn't that done just by like the skill of the game?" And they
said,
"No, don't be so naive."
Yeah, that's it. Of course not.
Well, no, we're trying to get the younger viewer involved, so we need to see your arse, and we need to see your knob hanging out the front of your trousers.
Yeah, here's a pair of scissors.
Right.
Too, you know?
Get in the box and cut your trousers up, right? Well, I'm going, I'm stunned.
Yeah.
I says, "Well, I've not heard anything about this. When did this directive come
did
in?
Did Beefy both of them?"
And he's like,
"They've
gone, like, handed me this fax saying, like, from the ECB, let's get bums on seats.
We got it here, haven't we?
They handed it to the captain of the team, handed it to me.
What did it say?
It says, from the ECB to the cricket team, I won't say which one.
Yeah.
Because crowd attendance is so down because of COVID, we really need to encourage people in through the gates, the bums on seats. So if you wouldn't mind, just for this game and maybe for other games that come up later in the summer, could you cut the arse out of your
trousers
and let the knob hang out the front of your trousers?
Yeah.
All the very best indeed, the ECB. Right?
Yeah.
And I says, first of all, it would have been nice if you showed me that fax before I come to play here, right? Because
that's it.
Now I feel like a complete idiot going out there without my arse hanging out, I mean, not banging out the front of my trousers, you know? And they says, "What can I say? You know, what can I say? It's just, you know, I thought that you knew what was going on."
Well,
you know, I says, "Well, I didn't know what was going on. Now I feel like a bit of a prick."
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you better.
I had, well, remember the Olympics and I'd done the diving.
Yeah.
Tom Daly. Yeah, I was after Tom Daly.
Yeah. Because you were like diver Luxembourg there because you got in on a technical.
I got a technicality. Yeah. Luxembourg. So I get this from the Olympic Committee.
Right.
Dear B. St. Michael. They didn't even know me. No, it's me.
It was very formal.
Dear B. St. Michael. As regards the ladies and the handball, etc., and recent directive offered at the ECB,
right,
we will require you to do the, what's it called? Display diving, synchronised diving. That, what, it goes in brackets, what Tom Daly does.
Yes, yes.
Question mark? I don't know why people would put that in. I don't know why. It's grammatically incorrect.
They're totally sure which event are you in. Yeah.
Please, would you ensure that at no point are you wearing any swimming trunks so that the horny viewers can see your ass when you're doing one of them dives? And then it goes, P.S.
You're really fit.
P.S. Particularly that one where they grab their knees and spin.
The tuck. P.P.S. It'd be nice to see your bum.
P.P.S. The viewers at Transworld who are filming this for a franchise to deliver all over the world will be doing a close-up on your... They put B-hole. I don't know why they're so coy about it.
Well, they don't seem to be able to spell anything the word B.
That's right. Luxembourg, that's right.
Yeah.
Your B-hole. And then when you come up surface, please would you oblige us by sticking arse up first, so we can get the full...
And then I see another PPS where it says, when you come out of the water, can you please tug at your knob so that it lengthens and then go for your tail? That's very, very specific directive.
Oh, the best. Oh, Sepp Blatter, Olympic Committee. God knows what he's doing.
What's he doing there?
So, of course, I made sure. Yeah. You'll recall this. I've done a bit of advertising on the side. Oreos, I got in touch with him.
Oh, right.
Thanks to my bummer. R-E-O-S. Yeah. So it's spelled Oreo when I done the tuck.
Yeah.
So you had David...
It's your arsehole.
Cleverly.
I got it.
So, you know, David Vine done the commentary and he said,
he would have done back then.
Only 18 then. 80-year-old Barry from Watford now, going for the tuck, sponsored by Oreos. There he goes!
Oh, Christ.
And I obliged, and it was a money spinner, because it's meant to be an amateur sport.
But, you know, if you're obliged to take your pants off when you dive in, then I think it's only fair that you can get money from advertising.
Of course it is.
Do you know what I got fed up with? In the end, I got fed up with defending my 100 metres gold title.
Yeah, I remember.
Do you know, because
in the pool?
Well, no, the sprinting.
Oh, the sprinting, yeah.
I was the Olympic champion from 1984 to 2008.
Yeah, quite a long time.
And I was like, in the end, they said, you can come back next year, try again.
Yeah.
And I go, in the end, I was just like, you know what, I'll come back.
I'll have a go.
And I came back in 2012.
I remember.
But my heart wasn't in it.
No.
You know, and I'll just nip gold. But I would have won it with a canter if I'd have really committed, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Done the 4-year programme. But I was just like, I only trained for about half an hour.
That's right. Roger Bannister.
I let myself go quite considerably. When I turned up at starting line London 2012, I was like 15 stone. I was way that's too
it.
Heavy.
That's it. But no one's got the gumption. No one's got the gumption. Kind and said, look, put an arm round you and said it's time to let it go.
No, they want to wring you dry. They want to get everything out of you, you know, because people pay to see you. Because I'm the only one that's willing to run naked.
And you certainly made some of the increased size means there was all sorts of advertising. Who's advertising your ball bag? Firestone, wasn't it?
No, it was Dunlop.
Dunlop.
Tennis balls.
Dunlop.
They painted them yellow. They put all hairs on it. Well, I didn't have to use... They had my own hairs on them.
You used your own. That was a discount.
Yeah, that's right. And that's another thing at Wimbledon when I played there. They said... I got a letter through from the Lawn Tennis Association. Yeah. They said... Dear Miss Epiphemia, yeah. Thank you once again for entering Wimbledon. This year, we would ask kindly if your shorts were much shorter than they was last year,
yes.
To such an extent that your balls hang out down the side of your legs, please.
Down the side of the legs, please.
We are willing to paint them yellow and write Dunlop on the side, yep. And you should clear about £1,500 by the end of the tournament in advertising.
Yeah.
If that is something you're willing to do, Novak Djokovic has said no,
yeah.
And Nadal has said maybe, but we're pretty sure you're going to go for this.
Yeah.
Of course I did.
Of course, all the best, Andrew Carthel.
All the best for Andrew Carthel from the Lawn Tennis Association.
Association.
Yeah. But when they wave these carrots in front of you, it's very hard to sort of turn them down, isn't it? I mean, that's a lot of money.
But when you, at the end, had to meet Princess Michael of Kent,
well, she knew the situation. She was briefed in the changing room.
A lot of small talk about your yellow balls, wasn't
there? Well, she says, so has it been easy to play with your balls hanging out your trousers like that this year? I says, well, it's not too bad, Mum. Like, but the only trouble is when the roof is shut, it gets quite hot in here. And it's all sweat down the side. And the LTA won't let me wear pants.
Yeah.
So, you know, my arse sticks to the side of my shorts.
Yeah.
You know, and she says, well, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, and she was embarrassed.
I mean,
she didn't know what to say. But she had
a point. Yeah. Well, it was the wonderful thing was what they'll never tell you. Do you remember the other day when there's a woman who discovered the vaccine?
Yeah.
They give her a standing ovation in Centre Court.
That's right.
Bex was there. Kate Middleton was there.
Yeah.
David Van Day, Patchop, and they were Rusty. The fella from Pimlico Plumbers.
Johnny Mullins.
Johnny Mullins was there. Our hero.
One of our best ever blokes. Yeah.
Was all there applauded. What they didn't show was after she'd coyly said thank you. They applauded you for your nutsack, didn't they? The yellow nutsack.
But
two minutes
of applause. Being the only player on the circuit who was willing to play with my nuts hanging out, so yellow.
Yeah.
Very unusual.
Yeah, Kyriakos. What's his name? Nick Kyriakos.
Kyrgios.
Kyrgios.
Yeah, Nick Kyrgios. Yeah.
So that was Wimbledon, and that was summer. Now
that was the Olympics.
That was the Olympics. Now look, we've done about 32 minutes.
Yeah.
And what we want to tell you is that we aim to keep going with this. However, if you want the real gold,
this is just mucking
this
about.
This is mucking about. If you come over to Patreon,
you want the insight.
You want the insight.
If you
want
to know what's really going on,
yeah. Oh, this is nothing. This is what they'll tell you.
Yeah.
This is what they want you to believe.
This is what they want you to hear. This is like what they don't want you to hear is
going over there.
Patreon.
The real truth.
Yeah.
All
and
right.
And you, all right, you got to pay. You know, $2 away, £2 a month.
Whatever it is. But if you
but it's
come,
real work,
or
you can watch the video of us doing this as well.
I'm just going to say
you
can see the yellow balls.
Yeah.
You can
see the faxes.
There's a
the
lot
LTA.
Of willy waving on
a lot
the
of willy
video.
Waving.
A lot
Christ,
of willy waving.
It's all willy waving.
It's all willy waving. All right, guys. Well,
should have helped.
I hope that's helped.
I can't imagine that it wouldn't have done.
Keep dancing.
Yes.
Until next time.
We love all of you.
Love you. Bye, guys. Bye.
Hello, I'm Tom, and I make a podcast where I log in to celebrities' Amazon accounts. It's called...
What a brilliant idea for a pod. There's no original pods out there anymore, but this genuinely is.
Oh, thanks, Ben Bailey-Smith. Anyway, it's called...
This is good, isn't it? It's clever, this podcast. You should do more.
Thanks, Kerry Godleyman. It's called...
This is such a great idea, by the way. What great podcast.
Shappy Corsander, you're too kind. The podcast is
but
called...
It's biographical. You can get all sorts of information out of people. This is a very good idea.
Thank you, Nick Helm. It's called My Mate Bought a Toaster.
I'm going to listen to this podcast.
Thanks, Alex Horn. Can you tell your friends?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Traffic jams, tailgating,
pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.